Let me see what this is first.
We're ready.
Good morning, sir. And what is your name, sir?
Antonio Garcia.
Mr. Garcia, you are... the Honorable Mr. Gowanus have you, and Mr. Gowanus has not seen this list, but I believe that he has some privileges here as well. But the Honorable Mr. Gowanus will be conducting your hearing in just one moment, sir.
Okay.
Okay, sir, can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Antonio Hernandez Garcia, 175110.
Thank you, sir, and good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on September 14th, 2017. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you in the room, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Representing myself today.
I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on the video screen, to my extreme far left at the end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. My name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. And to my immediate right is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. Also in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Osborne, who will be representing the Department of Corrections, as well as your parole officer.
Okay.
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. Garcia and Mr. Osborne, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth? Oh, hold on one second. I forgot we have some representatives to do today as well for Mr. Garcia. Do we have three individuals that plan on speaking for Mr. Garcia today? Okay. So I'm going to read everyone in right now as far as you're swearing everyone in. So before we get started, Mr. Garcia... Ms. Ramos?
Yes.
Is it Ms. Gonzalez?
Yes.
And Ms. Gabby Gonzalez? Mr. Osborne, do you all solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do, sir.
Very good. Mr. Garcia, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe the allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. And I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed, or probably about to lapse, in a criminal ways or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by your failure to submit a urine specimen for drug testing on or about July 27, 2017 for the task individual testing compliance summary dated August 18, 2017. Mr. Garcia, is this true or false?
That's true.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven is demonstrated by your use of alcohol on or about August 1st, 2017 for the task lab report dated August 2nd, 2017. Mr. Garcia, is this true or false?
That is true, sir.
Thank you, sir. And finally, allegation number three, violation of condition number five is demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaultive behavior on or about August 11th, 2017 in Maricopa County. Mr. Garcia, is this true or false?
That is true, sir.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Garcia's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed in a criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Just 1 second, Mr. Garcia, and we'll continue with the second phase of the hearing, and you will have a chance to speak with the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Garcia, we're going to move on to the second phase of the hearing. During this phase, we're going to determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by. As Mr. Osborne, our community corrections officer, is going to give us detailed background information. If you'll remain on the phone, we will come back to you momentarily for questions. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Osborne.
Yes, sir. Mr. Garcia was released from DOC custody on May 30th of 2017. He was arrested on August 16th, 2017 at the Mesa Regional Pro Office on a tech violation for assaultive behavior and was returned back to custody that same day. He was 0 scan days with a community supervision end date of August 26th of 2018. Current conviction, 2011, theft of means of transportation, 7 years. Prior convictions, 2003, criminal trespass, first degree, 1 year. 2003, theft, 1 year. 2004, theft means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2004, theft means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2004, drug paraphernalia violation, 1 year. 2004, theft means of transportation, 3 years, 6 months. 2004, criminal impersonation, 1 year. And 2004, unlawful use of means of transportation, 1 year, 6 months. He's had 3 terms with DOC, has a CUIR score of 3-4, a mental health score of 1, and a substance abuse score of 2. There is SGG and gang information noted that on March 3rd of 2003, Jimmy Garcia admitted he is a member of the Glendale Street Gang, Barrio 61st, Rondell, out of Arizona. Prior term to supervision, 2003, TIS absconder, 53 days, returned to custody, reached his CSED. And 2008, TIS completion, 8 months. He has a moderate disciplinary history with smuggling contraband, theft, and positive or refusals noted. After arrest, 2001, failure to appear, second degree, AZ County Jail. He has a community risk score of G7V8. And I do have stats and charges attached from Senior Parole Officer Stephon Smith, dated Friday, September 29th, 2017. For the Phoenix Municipal Court, the offender still has 1 misdemeanor assault charge pending. That is all, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Osborne. Back to you, Mr. Garcia. I see that you're released from prison with an approved placement at 465 West Ivy Glen, apartment 238, Mesa, Arizona. This was your address at the time of your arrest. Is that the only place you lived when you were on community supervision, sir?
Yes, sir.
You also have a notation that you're working at Full Circle Car Wash, 1607 North Dysart Road, Avondale. Were you working there the entire time that you're on community supervision?
Yes, sir.
Well, we commend you for working. That's always a positive sign when individuals are employed when they come out of the correction system. For the programming, you were assigned to the color code system for your analysis. You had a negative, a failed to submit, a positive for alcohol, then you were referred to CHC for substance abuse classes. You completed that intake in June 2017, attended 7 of the 11 required group classes prior to arrest. So again, we do commend you for attending those classes up until the time you were arrested. You were staffed for the positive UA for alcohol. Admitted to having a beer because you thought you could have one. You were reminded about the conditions of supervision, but that this was your first positive UA since being released. And you were attending CHC classes until you're arrested. So I will begin by asking, have you had ongoing problems with substance abuse, alcohol, or drugs?
Yes, sir.
What in particular, sir?
Meth and alcohol.
When is the last time you used methamphetamine, sir?
About like February.
And have you been able to remain clean since, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, we commend you for that. There are no abstandes associated with this warrant, as you were arrested on a tech violation. There is reference to assaultive behavior. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes, sir.
What happened, sir?
My granddaughter, her father was leaving her at different spots my granddaughter with was a child molester, and they got priors of it. There's no excuse for it. I just hit the man in the mouth. I mean, I'm sorry for what I've done. That's what the whole thing was. My wife knows it. Okay. Everything that happened, they know more to the story than what I do.
Thank you, sir. Based on the information provided and what we've already asked, I don't have a lot more questions for you. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions before we invite your supporters to speak before the board. Are there any questions from my fellow board members? Okay, then I'm going to continue the hearing by allowing your supporters to speak to the board. Who would like to speak first? If you could approach the podium. And so that we can record this, state your name at the podium, and then you can tell us what you would like to share with the board.
Hello. Thank you for having me. My name is Isalia Gonzalez. I'm Antonio Garcia's wife. He was speaking about what happened August 11, 2017. He is telling the truth. We had recently found out that our 4-year-old granddaughter was being sexually abused while she was in the care of her father. Mother and father share custody. So he has her 2 days, and we have her 2 days, and he has her the weekend, and then it rotates. Our granddaughter told us what was going on. She had just turned 4 August 10th. And my husband got arrested August 11th. when her father came over to pick her up for his visitation time, which he was supposed to pick her up at 9 a.m., but he picked her up at 9 p.m. When our granddaughter told us what was going on, because I noticed there was a change in her, herself. She's a happy child, loves to play with other children. When she came back to us that day, she was just alone in the corner, all quiet. And when she told her grandfather, and the father showed up to pick her up, you know, my husband just snapped because he has so much anger. We have a case going on with her, Stephanie. She has a lawyer that's going to be representing her October 12th in Surprise. So we're waiting for that. We gave all the information to Stephanie's lawyer, child molester, addresses. So we're just waiting for the court. She was going to have him. My granddaughter does not deserve to go through this. She just turned 4 years old. She was in here in the courtroom. She's outside right now. So, I just want to ask you guys to give my husband a second chance, because he was out here, when he was out here, we got married June 8th. And he was doing good. He was going on his classes, checking up with the PM, got a job. He was getting used to living out here, living around family that loves and supports him. We have a 22-year-old daughter. And yes, I know he's been in trouble in the past. I wasn't in his life that whole time, but I do remember while he was growing up, he had no support from his mother or anybody. He did as he pleased. He never had a role model in his life. He didn't know how to be loved out here. He had nobody. So I think that him being in prison, when he started going to prison, he thought that was his family, but that's not the family that he needs. He never knew him any different. So I think, I know that if he comes out, if he does let him out, he's going to continue on work, of course, doing whatever else he's got to do. I've never been in trouble or anything. I'm a positive role model for him. Never been arrested. I don't have a record. I don't do drugs. All I do is work. So, I think that he'd be better off being out here than in there, because him being in there, he's never gonna learn to how to be he's never gonna learn how to live out here in society, you know, how to pay bills, how to have a roof over your head. And he was learning how to do all that.
Just a quick question, ma'am. I'm sorry, the victim in the case you're talking about, this is Mr. Garcia's granddaughter?
Yes.
Okay, I think that was mentioned, but I want to make sure I was getting
it. She's four.
Okay. Let's see if my fellow board members have any questions for you. Thank you, Mr. Garcia. I mean, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Gonzalez. Sorry about that. I had a little misstep there. Speaking with Mr. Gonzalez. Okay. Thank you. Mr. Garcia, confused. Who else would like to speak? Again, if you could state your name.
My name is Mara Ramos.
And what would you like to show the board, ma'am?
I am Antonio Garcia's sister-in-law. I really didn't have a connection with him before. No, not at all. I didn't even know they were married, my sister and him. I'm not gonna lie, before them, me and him didn't get along because of the things he did in the past. You know, he had a daughter and wasn't really there or whatever, but I mean, it was none of my business. But anyways, ever since we got back into our lives together, our family, because I wouldn't talk to my sister either. I wouldn't really visit them or anything. I was just my own person. But ever since they got married and everything, I started having a relationship with my brother-in-law and my sister, and he was actually doing good. I was actually surprised what he was doing. He would get up early in the morning, look for a job. I refer him to the job that my sons were working at. Due to his qualities he had, of course, he was denied for that job at Home Depot. So anything that would come out first, he was willing to take to support his family. I know, like my sister said, he did not have opportunity to live as a family with the mom or anybody. Right now, we're his family. Not his mom, not really his sister, not nobody. But me, my sister, my kids, his grandkids, we're the family. And then I talked to him. I gave him a lot of advice. I told him what I have went through in the past. I don't use drugs. I used to drink alcohol. Thank God I don't have it anymore. And he was starting to give my daughter a lot of advice, talking to her. She's only 16 years old. She was in a bad car accident. He was supportive to her. When the incident on the 11th, yeah, it was going to be happening. Yeah, he had a beer or two. He wasn't supposed to be drinking. He was upset at the time because I can hear his granddaughter saying to me what was going on and saying, but my father said it's not happening, that it's not true. So that got him mad. And when he was saying, you know, I cannot believe, he's not believing his granddaughter with the father saying to her, you know, how are you going to say something's not happening to your kid when your own kid is telling you what's going on? So he was a grandfather, yeah, he got upset, he got mad. He should have never hit him. And it was just out of anger, out of saying that his father was not doing what he was supposed to for his daughter. Like right now, he's on visitation, he hasn't picked up his daughter for 3 weeks now. So all I told my sisters right now, the mom, my niece, to write down, you know, when he doesn't pick her up or anything. There's no excuse for you not to pick up your child, you know? But the thing is that, like I said, my brother-in-law was doing so good. He was learning what it was to have a family. He said, sister-in-law, thank you for helping me out. Thank you for, you know, helping my wife and my mom in here. Ever since he's been here, my sister, we have to, like, keep her to be herself, happy. Because sometimes she don't want to eat. Sometimes, you know, they just got married. They're really learning how to live a life, helping her daughter out with situations and stuff.
I'm going to ask my fellow board members if there are any questions for you, because this is important information, but we need to kind of stay on focus with his case. But I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions. Okay. Thank you for your information. Very
and
much.
Also, I have another thing to say.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
I don't know what gave for my daughter, and she's 16 years old, and she was also going to speak for him. So I don't know why she didn't. I'm Destin Martinez.
Were there not only three people speaking?
No, it was four of us.
Is she here?
Yeah.
I thought it was. I thought all three of you like swore in.
She didn't.
No, it's four of us. The other one's outside with the kids.
Okay. I guess I got confused on that, but she can, I can swear in and she can speak for this board.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am. Miss, did you want to speak? And were you not sworn in earlier?
No, she wasn't.
Okay, I'm going to swear you in when you come to the podium, if you'll address the podium. Just very quickly, do you solemnly swear the whole, I'm sorry, your name?
Destiny Martinez.
Okay, Destiny Martinez, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes.
Okay, what would you like to share with the board, Ms. Martinez?
I am his niece. I'm only 16 years old. I got close to my tío. He gave me advice. We didn't really talk at first when I met him, but as soon as I got to know him, he was a really good person. He helped out around the house a lot. He helped me around a lot. He would talk to me. The night he got locked up, his granddaughter, she started crying when her dad came, saying she did not want to leave. She said she was going to go, thinking she was going to go back to that same place. She misses him a lot. She would ask for him. He did nothing wrong. I was there. He did have some temper in him. There was a car parked in front, and it was there for like, I would say about 10 minutes, just in front of our house. I looked out the window, and it's like there's some car here. And my uncle got up, and he looked. And as he knew who it was, and he went to the car, and that, I forgot his name. His goddaughter's dad, he said something to him which made him really upset. And as his temper he can't really control, he hit him. And they just drove off. He didn't have no intentions on doing it. It was like that person really knew what was going to happen to him, knowing that he would do something really to him. He had no intentions with. I heard he said something to him because that's when he threw the punch. He's a really good person. My tia misses him a lot. She always looks at his letters. And I heard that he gives his lunch away in order to get letters. So he hasn't been eating. He, when it would come to his so-called family he had, they were never there for him, never asked for him or anything. We were the only family he had. He was always looking for a job. He was just a good person. We all miss him a lot. And he had no intentions on doing that part just because of that person said something to him awful. But it would be nice if he actually got a second chance to actually be with his family again, because we're the only one he has.
Thank you, miss. Do we have any further questions? I'm sorry, further questions from the board? Thank you, miss. And did the other family member want to speak? Yes, your choice. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, Mr. Garcia, we're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you'd like to make before the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't repeat yourself in the interest of time management, but this is your board. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
I'd just like to ask for a second chance. I just want to do right and get the help that I need. I got medical issues out there. I got lupus. and I'm just trying to get all my medical done out there. I was seeing doctors, and I'd just like to continue that and to work and provide. That's it.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Garcia, the board is going into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you, but it is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes and make a decision regarding your community supervision. So, if you remain on the phone, and you can just stay quiet for a few moments, the board will have its discussion, and we will come back to you with a decision shortly. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. We are now in discussion, fellow board members. This is a case in which I'm certainly willing to take certain factors into consideration. I recognize that he violated his condition of supervision by drinking alcohol, and that he is confronted with a misdemeanor assault. But based on all the information that was taken today, especially considering the testimony of his family, that and that combined with the fact that he has a fair amount of time left on his flat prison sentence, and that he was attending the CHC classes at the time of the arrest, I am open to returning him to community supervision, but that's where I'd like to begin the discussion, and I'm certainly open to the input and the wisdom of my colleagues. Yes, Ms. Rittenhouse.
Mr. Quinones, thank you. Mr. Garcia has amazing family support, it appears. And although in the past he does have one abscond period from community supervision in 03, he then completed one in 08 for 8 months. So, you know, he does know how to be on community supervision, I think. However, the alcohol is a problem. And what I guess what bothers me the most about the alcohol is really two things, that he used the beer when he got angry. So he was using it to in that combination. So if we did return him to community supervision, I would definitely want some or recommend some kind of anger management as well as alcohol abuse counseling in that combination, because that's not a good combination. I would also note that he was working the entire time. Even though he lived in Mesa, he was working in Avondale, which is not close. So he appears to be pretty motivated about working. So I too could consider community supervision with those additional conditions.
Thank you, Ms. Rittenhouse, and I do agree with you on the specifics. Any further input from fellow board members?
Yes,
yes, Doctor.
To be honest, I do understand and I respect very much so what both of my distinguished colleagues have stated. However, I still have a concern about this alcohol and this anger management. I know that I think that we all can understand why he reacted the way that he did. However, the exception that I see is that he was on community supervision, and has already been stated by the Honorable Ms. Rittenhouse, he understands community supervision quite well since he was both in 03 and 08. I just cannot not overlook it, but I am prepared to move forward for time management purposes, sir.
Thank you, Doctor. Before I make my motion, I will try to sum this up, and that is to say that I'm certainly not being dismissive of his history, but I'm also seeing a pattern of, I won't say he's turned the corner, but is turning the corner. He completed his community supervision in 2008. It's unfortunate that he was involved in another crime incident since then and has been in the prison system, but it does sound like an individual who is turning the corner. And I think in this case some encouragement is warranted. Therefore, I'm going to make a motion, and that is that I move to continue community supervision for Mr. Garcia under the same conditions and amended conditions. And I will state them now, and that is that recommend placement and successful completion of a program that offers substance abuse treatment. Must enter and successfully complete a treatment program that offers substance abuse treatment. And I will put in the footnote of anger management, as well as the very important for the parole officer to start revocation process upon the first positive, diluted, missed, or unsuitable for testing and excused UA, and that would include alcohol of any form. And that is my motion.
Mr. Oster has
a question. Oh, yes.
If I may, sir, on behalf of the state, because he is also disciplined or received sanctions for drinking back on 8-3, and they did state during testimony he was also drinking the day of the assaulted behavior, that we do apply a alcohol transdermal device to help him out and deter him from drinking also.
Okay, is that something to be written in?
Yes, sir.
Okay, is that an actual condition?
It's
no, it's not listed. You have to write that one again.
Just write it.
Okay, so make sure. Okay, and that is my motion.
Second.
Mm-hmm. I would disagree. For the reason stated.
Thank you, Doctor. Okay, Mr. Garcia, the board has voted to return you to community supervision under the conditions that we stated, and I will again state them again, and that we recommend placement and successful completion of a program that offers substance abuse treatment. You must enter and successfully complete a program that offers substance abuse treatment. Treatment at the parole officer's discretion to include anger management. And I'm sorry, what was that?
Have an alcohol transdermal monitor applied to his ankle. It just measures through your skin the amount of alcohol in your system at any time.
Okay, and placement on alcohol transdermal monitor, and finally that the parole officer start revocation process upon the first positive, diluted, missed, or unsuitable for testing on excuse or analysis to include the use of alcohol. Do you understand the conditions, sir?
Yes, sir.
Are you willing to abide by these conditions, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then we wish you the best. We do want to see you succeed on your community supervision, and this hearing has been concluded. Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, sir.